Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you all for for coming back. It is so good to see everybody, especially the kids this evening. It's so good to see them and Charlene, and just glad to have everybody back. This evening, I'm going to bring you another lesson on the man-made religious holiday known as Christmas. And I hope you'll see the human error in claiming that December 25th is a biblical holy day or holiday or the birthday of Jesus. The title of this evening's lesson is Away from the Manger. So please open your Bibles and follow along with me in this all-important lesson. As always, the Bible will be our guide and not some man-made creeds. So please don't take my word or any man's word, only the word of God. Let's now talk about Christmas, or away from the manger. Well, it's that time of year again. The air has become crisp and cold. The days are shorter. All the leaves have fallen. And the city streets are lighted with multicolored signs and lights. Shopping malls have been jammed with people. The airports are very crowded and the highways are filled with people traveling to their homes. Drive past almost any denominational church building, you'll see a nativity scene out front. Some even have live characters and animals in them. And if there's not a nativity scene, you can be almost certain that there will be some sort of Christmas message on their sign or in their yard. Excuse me. Over and over, you'll hear preachers and others decrying the fact that Christ has been taken out of Christmas. Inevitably, you will see the stories on the news in which the little children will tell us that Christmas is the birthday of baby Jesus. We'll see hundreds of images of Mary holding the infant Jesus close to her breast, or the peaceful baby lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And by the way, a large part of the religious world refers to Mary as the Mother of God. And I want you to understand something right now. I don't think I can say it any clearer. Mary had nothing whatsoever to do with the divinity of Christ. Nothing. He was both God and man, and it was solely the fleshly part that involved Mary. That which was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Matthew 1:20. But this is the time of the year when the religious world in general makes a united effort to commemorate the birth of our Lord. So let me say at this time that the word Christmas appears nowhere in the New Testament. Let me say also that the Bible does not give the day, the month, or the year of our Lord's birth, and it's impossible to determine the exact date of his birth from the evidence of the Gospels or from any secular history or from any sound tradition. Let me also say that the Bible gives no indication whatsoever that the first century church ever celebrated the birth of our Lord as a special religious day. Those who celebrate Christmas as a religious holy day do so solely on the basis of man's authority and not God's. The religious celebration of Christmas cannot be done by faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. And the Word of God nowhere, brethren, nowhere mentions the celebration of Christmas. But let's face it. The religious world is at this time bowing before the manger of Jesus. People are enamored by that little baby. There is something inherent within us that draws us to an infant. You see, an infant is small and helpless, totally non-threatening. An infant doesn't tell us what to do or what not to do. An infant does not rebuke or demand obedience. And who doesn't love a small, wiggling, laughing, and cooing baby? Or who hasn't felt their heart melt at the sight of or even the thought of an infant all warm and snugly wrapped in a blanket, peacefully sleeping? But my friends, it is way past time for the religious world and the world in general to get away from the manger and to remember that Jesus grew up. Oh, sure, there's a lot of people who want to jump forward right now to his resurrection, to the celebration of another man-made holiday, Easter. But they forget practically all that this man Jesus taught and demanded during his 3 years of his adult ministry. Everybody wants to praise the baby Jesus, but most people, even the religious-minded people, don't want to obey the adult Jesus. So let us get away from the manger to the adult years. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you would, please. First, let's get away from the manger to the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Yes, my friends, Jesus grew up. He became a man and taught us how to live. And in teaching us how to live, he taught us that there is only one way to heaven, and he taught that most people were not going to find it. In Matthew 7th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." Listen now. "And few there be that find it." Jesus taught us over 2,000 years ago. He taught that most people will not go to heaven. How sad, but it's a fact. Oh yes, my friends, the adult Jesus taught that there is but one body, and that one body is his church. Ephesians 4, turn with me, if you would. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, the Bible says there is one body, that's the church, and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. And Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23 tells us that body is the church. The church that Jesus built and the church that he died for. His church. Some very religious people, indeed those who are currently bowing before the manger of the baby Jesus, are denying the very things that the adult Jesus taught us by saying that there are many roads to heaven, many different roads to heaven. And they're encouraging you to choose the one that most appeals to you. After all, they say we're all going to heaven, just taking a different route to get there. We're all going to heaven, just taking a different route to get there. Jesus said that's not true, as we just read in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Choose a church of your choice. That's the modern call of denominationalism. But let me tell you something, my friends. If you want to get to heaven, you must choose the church that the adult Jesus built, which is his church, the church of Christ, the only church you read about in the New Testament. Indeed, the adult Jesus taught that there would be many religious people, pious-looking people, and pious-sounding people who would not make it because they practice unauthorized things in the name of religion, unauthorized by Christ, thereby operating in the realm of iniquity. And again from Matthew 7. Look with me this time at verses 21 through 23, if you would. Now we frequently read these verses a lot. And it's my belief only maybe, but it's my belief if these words were understood and believed by the world, there would be no denominations, only the church that Jesus built, his church, the church of Christ. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's Jesus saying here? What's he saying? He is saying not to do anything religiously without his authority. And that, my friends, includes all denominations. Why? Because all denominations were established without his authority by mere mortal men. Every last one of them. So, my friends, let's get away from the manger to the scene in the temple during the adult days of our Lord Jesus. Now, the Jews in the days of Christ had made the temple a place of merchandise for their personal profit. And in doing so, they instituted all sorts of unauthorized practices. On one memorial occasion, our Lord walked into the temple, and let's turn to John chapter 2 and pick up reading in verse 13 and see what happened. John chapter 2, verse 13. Let's see what happened when Jesus walked into that temple. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Yes, Jesus was angry, a righteous anger. Oh, yes, that baby Jesus grew up. He displayed his righteous anger and his contempt towards those who had cheapened their worship and made it of no effect. Everywhere you go today, churches are begging for money, and to get that money, they promote every gag, every game, every gimmick they can think of to draw people in. They push and they promote their athletic teams, they promote their youth rallies, their busing programs, and their fellowship halls, as if to say that the life and the work and the teaching of the adult Jesus is not enough to draw people. How blasphemous. Make it big, make it modern, make it fancy, make it fun. Give the people what they want. But what about what the adult Jesus wanted? Let's go just a little further away from the manger and look on Jesus as he rebuked the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. Now, an infant can rebuke no one, but the adult Jesus did. He told the righteous leaders of that day that they were inconsistent, they were hypocrites, and did so to their faces in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Let's look at verses 1 through 12, if you would, with me, Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on the men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works that they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now listen to what he says in verse 9. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The adult Jesus condemned the wearing of religious titles that tend to elevate and exalt mere men. Think about this. Isn't it ironic that so many of the very ones who at this time of the year are promoting Christmas as a religious holy day, so many of the very ones who are leading people to bow before the manger of the infant Jesus do so while calling themselves Reverend, Pastor, Father, the very thing that Jesus condemned that we just read about in Matthew 23, verses 7 through 9. It'd be a fine thing if we could get people away from the manger and nearer to the teaching of the adult Jesus. Now let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Now let's get away from the manger to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was on this occasion that God's voice thundered from heaven and said in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Brethren and friends, did you know that three times a voice from heaven proclaimed in the presence of men God's recognition of Jesus as his Son? Three times he did. First time was in Matthew 3 and verse 17. You might want to look with me. Matthew 3 and verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The second is Matthew 17, 5, which we just read. And the third, I want you to turn with me to John 12, 28. "Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The Father spoke from heaven in the presence of men that Jesus was his beloved Son and that we are to obey him if we want to go to heaven. And baby Jesus grew up. He became a man. And that a man that we must acknowledge as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. A man before whom we must bow in humble submission, doing what he says and not what man says. We need to move away from the manger to the Mount of Transfiguration to an obedient faith in Jesus, a total commitment to his word and to his authority. It was the adult Jesus, my Lord, who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 16. You can understand that, I can understand that, but truly most of the religious world won't even submit to this teaching of the adult Jesus. And finally, let's get away from the manger to the cross of Calvary. This same infant was born and he was laid in a manger. He grew up and was rejected by his own people. He was betrayed by one of his chosen 12 and is denied by a personal friend. He was seized and he was tried illegally until a frantic mob demanded that he be crucified. He was mocked, he was belittled, he was ridiculed, he was spit upon, he was reviled, and he was nailed to a cross. But his death was not in vain. Through his death, the old law was removed. It was fulfilled according to Colossians 2:14. His blood was shed to redeem men from their sins, Ephesians 1:7. And with his blood, he purchased the one true church we read about in Acts 20 and verse 28. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5? That little sweet baby, that little baby that was in the manger, he grew up and he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him." What must we do? Well, we must repent. We must believe and repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of our sins. then we must remain faithful, serving Him as our Lord and Master until the day that we go to heaven to be with Him, to be eternally with Him. So while so many are bowing before the manger at this time of the year, it would be so much better and it would be in accordance with His will if people would instead bow before His authority. Brethren and friends, that baby Jesus grew up, and we need to listen and to obey the adult Jesus, our Lord and our Master. So let's move away from the manger and closer to the Jesus. Please understand now, I am thankful that Jesus was born in the world. Indeed, I am. I am thankful enough to do just what the church that He founded did in the first century. Each year it is sad to see so many people ignoring true spiritual worship in favor of focusing their energies on worship that is not even prescribed in the Bible. While there is certainly nothing wrong with taking advantage of the Christmas holidays as a time together with loved ones, let's be careful not to use it as an occasion to engage in vain worship that is according to the traditions of men. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 25. Brethren, when you think about it, it's evident that Christmas has a non-religious side to it also. Most of the popular Christmas stories, movies, and songs make no reference to the birth of Christ. Their message is that of celebrating time with family and engaging in the spirit of goodwill, which is a legitimate approach to this season. I have heard of atheists and Jews who place lights in their house and exchange gifts for Christmas, and they certainly are not celebrating the birth of Christ. Is it possible for Christians, to esteem Christmas the same way, the same non-religious manner? May we enjoy the lights, the gifts, the parties, and close our businesses on December the 25th without celebrating that day as the birth of Christ? I believe we can. Now, there won't be a special Christmas service at Faithful Churches of Christ this season, just like here at Prairie Village. We will meet to observe the Lord's Supper, study the Bible together, pray together, and sing together, and give of our means together, just like we do every other Sunday of the year. We celebrate His death every first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper in commemoration of this great sacrifice. This is what we're called upon to commemorate, to celebrate, and remember. Nothing more, nothing less. If this sounds like the right thing for you to do, why don't you become a Christian right now, and God will add you to His church, the Church of the New Testament. The only church you read about in the New Testament. What you need to do is step down now, right now, as we sing the invitation song, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We can help anyone make their life right with God. Please do it right now before you leave this building. Please do not leave in an unsaved condition. Whether you're a non-Christian or a Christian who has gone astray, maybe you've been unfaithful, you can take care of that this evening, right now, after repenting to God of your sins. You too need to come forward. And let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a member in good standing in the Lord's church again. Can we help you in any way? If so, come now as we stand and as we sing.